proclamation of worship, and if you would, remain standing for the reading of God's Word. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, be glad. Let's do that again. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. A little bit better. Now let's look to the Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter and the 38th verse. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10, verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me one more moment as we pray. Father, we ask that you would bless this word, Father, to our hearts. Challenge us, Father, this day. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. I hope you have friends. Friendship is a very precious thing. The greatest example of friendship I have ever known was put forward in the life of Ralph and Louise Spear, my parents. I like to talk about my folks. They were great people. They were great friends. If you are fortunate enough to have one of them or both of them as your friends, you had a treasure indeed. They were quick to care for any need, no matter what it was, no matter when it was. They were ready to help in any and every possible way. They accepted and loved their friends through the good times, through the bad times, when they were good, when their friends were not so good. They still loved them and sought to hold them up. If people ever entered our home, they were immediately welcomed as family, except they didn't get the chores. They were blessed by friendship. I have been blessed by friendship. I've been blessed to have some great friends who have been an encouragement to me all the days of my life. Friends come, friends go by life and death, but praise God for the friends that I've been able to have. My very best friend, my wife Becky, has loved me unconditionally, and I am so thankful for her and for that. My children have grown up to be friends that I treasure. God has always had some people to stand by me, and I have been blessed beyond belief. My lifelong friend Marvin Greer, he's lived away from me my whole adult life, and yet he is as close as a phone. And if there is ever a need, he is right there. Every time we speak, it's like we've never been apart. He is quite literally my brother from another mother. And I treasure that friendship. When we were in Kansas City, Missouri, there was Joe and Ann Amos and their Boston Terriers that they cherished. The Terriers would greet you at the door before they did, but they were always welcoming, always caring. In Selma, at Selmont Baptist Church, there was Ed and Jean Byron. What a great couple. How they served the Lord. In Columbus, there are too many to mention. I thank you for being my friends. I have had friends who have stood with me, who have stood for me. I have had friends that we have battled with together in issues, and I have had friends willing to go to war for me. And I am indeed blessed and thankful for each one. Friends have the ability to make you feel comfortable, to make you feel at ease, to let you know it's going to be okay. They accept you sometimes in spite of you. They understand you have shortcomings and they care for you anyway. What a great thing it is to have friends. It should not surprise you to know that Jesus had friends. Now, I think Jesus would be an easy person to have as a friend. Jesus is one of those people everybody would have thought they were his best friend, because Jesus loved and cared for each individual. Indeed, as the song says, what a friend we have in Jesus. He was absolutely perfect in every way. There was nothing you had to look over in Jesus' life, nothing you ever had to forgive in his life. He loved others perfectly. There was one place where that love seemed to go both ways very, very fluidly. And he had one group of friends that he returned to again and again. It was at the home of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. They lived in a tiny village of Bethany. This was a type of suburb of Jerusalem. When Jesus was in the area, he would drop in, and he was always welcomed at their house. John 11 reveals that this family was very special to Jesus. Their home was a place where he could be refreshed and relax. This was a home where he was always welcome. Now, I want to be clear. Jesus loves everybody. The scripture says, for God so loved the world, indeed, he loves everyone, but not everyone receives that the same, and not everyone shares it the same. In John 11:5, we are told Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. Jesus was with them in happy times. He was with them in sad times. He was with them in days of calm, and he was with them in times of threat. Now, you have to know what's going on. There is a group that is moving to try to kill Jesus. The Pharisees, who were in power, were doing everything in their control to move Jesus toward death. And so this would have been a very, very risky time to have Jesus as a house guest. Yet, there is no hesitation. Jesus was welcome. He was always welcome. May I say to you, you need to make a determination in your life that Jesus will always be welcome wherever you are. Jesus needs to be welcome in your home, yes. But listen, Jesus needs to always be welcome in your business. He needs to be welcome where you work. He needs to be welcome in your car when people cut you off. He needs to be welcome with you, at the ball game when things happen that you don't like. He needs to be welcome with you all the time. On this occasion, Martha welcomed Jesus into the home. Now, that indicates that Martha was the head of that home at that moment. Perhaps her parents had died. Martha was the eldest, and so she would be the one to welcome someone into the house. It could be that Martha was widowed and her brother and sister lived with her. And so again, it was her house and she welcomed Jesus in. Since Lazarus is not mentioned in this passage, we believe he was probably away, and yet Jesus was still welcomed. Many lessons can come here. We learn about friendship, yes. But we can learn about the worrier. Are you a worrier? Verse 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. Martha was anxious. Martha was troubled. Let's get right down to it. Martha was worried. And yes, worried is not of God. It is a sin. She was out of step in her worry. And before we focus in on her shortcomings, let's give a little bit of room for what she did right. There is a lot right about this woman. The name Martha is Aramaic for lady, and she was quite literally the lady of the household. She was the one that was willing and had the authority to welcome Jesus. She did not push him aside. If you uh, If you ever are in a situation where you push Jesus aside, you've made a great mistake. Like Martha, you need to make sure that Jesus is always received with you. You need to be willing to present him to others at all times. You need to act like Jesus is with you. It is best if Jesus is accepted into a home by the head of the home. But in reality, Jesus can come into a home through any portal. He can come through a husband. He can come through a wife. He can come through a son. He can come through a daughter. If a young person comes to the Lord and wants his family or her family to know Jesus, the very best thing they can do is show them what Jesus has done in their lives. How do you do that? Well, a young person needs to obey their parents. That's one way to show them that something's happened, that they really mean business with Jesus. As a wife, you're not going to win your husband by preaching to him. Your preaching ministry's not going to get there. So what you do is you live the life before him in a sweet love, and that, according to God's word, can bring that husband to Jesus. Husbands, in the same way, love your wives so that they see Jesus in you. Now, Martha was not only welcomed Jesus, she also welcomed those that were with Jesus. Now, you may have a house where you're okay with somebody dropping in and being an extra guest for dinner. What about 13? Jesus didn't travel alone. And so he comes and they come. Martha was a very practical Christian. She was very servant-minded. Her mind went to doing whatever had to be done to make sure that everybody was taken care of. She wasn't looking for Jesus and his disciples to do something for her. She wasn't waiting to see what they could do to make her better. She was out to make their life easier, to make their life better, to be a service to them. You know, some people look at church as, what am I going to get out of it? Some people come to church and they go away and they say, well, I didn't get anything out of it. We need to come to God's house with the thought of what we can give, how we can contribute, how we can be a part of worship. Martha looked to how she could give of herself. And that's really an attitude that we need to have. Listen, we're in a day when a whole lot of people are seeking power. Jesus taught his followers to serve, to be willing to do things for others, to be willing to help others. Martha saw a need, and she just moved to meet it. Hey, if you see a need around this place and you can do something about it, do it. You know, just do it. Take positive action. You don't have to be an usher to open a door for somebody. You don't have to be a greeter to make someone feel welcome. And let me really make sure you understand this. In this COVID world, we're not able to be as welcoming as we want to be. So if you are around one another, and you know, make it your purpose to make other people feel welcome and cared for. And it's even worse. We wear masks. And if we're wearing masks, they can't see if you're frowning or grimacing or smiling. And so when you see somebody in a mask, just assume they're smiling. Don't assume the other facial expressions. Try to look at them the best you can, but take a positive move toward others. You don't have to be a singing virtuoso to lift God's praises in song. You don't have to be a nurse to care for precious children in our nursery. You don't have to be a deacon to lock a door or to turn out a light. Listen, you don't have to have a special mandate to call or visit someone and let them know that Jesus loves them. We should all be about those things. So here is Martha. She is welcoming. She sets out to cook, boil, bake, and serve. She's doing a good thing, but she gets distracted. In verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Martha was a driven person. The word cumbered here means distracted. She saw so many things to be done that she was having difficulty locking in on any one, and it distracted her from the main thing that she should be giving her time to. We are living in a very busy world. Now, in this service, I understand I am talking to many people who are retired. And having been around you long enough, I know you retired thinking that was the life of leisure, only to find out that you are now trying to figure out how in the world you ever had time to work. So many things to do that come in. May I tell you, busyness will always crowd out your life. It's just there. You know, we have people that are busy that work. And we have businesses that take everything a person has. Some work at places that demand all of them and more. And we need to pray for those folks that are in those situations. Dr. Jim Henry told of a man that worked at such a place. He felt so burned out at work, he just was compelled to ask for a day off. His boss answered him and said, let's see, out of 365 days in a year that are available for work, there are 52 weeks a year that you already have 2 days a week off. Is that right? He said, yes. Well, listen, that only leaves 262 days that you can work. Since you spend 16 hours a day away from work, that's 170 days. That only leaves 91 days available for work. You spend 30 minutes a day on coffee breaks. If we add those up, that's 23 days each year. That leaves 63 days for work. With 1 hour each day for lunch, you use up another 46 days. That leaves only 22 days for work. Now, you normally take 2 days as sick days every year. That only leaves 20 days. We give you 5 holidays, and that brings us down to 15. Now, of those 15, we graciously give you 14 days every year for vacation. That leaves 1 day for work, and you want to take it off? Well, some businesses push like that. Our society drives us, our family drives us, our jobs drive us. If we're not careful, they will drive us to distraction. We will get involved in good things and we will leave out the most important things. It is easy to let busyness take us away from what is most important. Her distraction led her to worry. It took her mind off of Jesus and put her mind on everything else that she perceived she had to do. Listen, she was in the presence of Almighty God, and she was more worried about pots and pans than she was about being with the Savior. She saw her sister Mary just sitting there at the feet of Jesus. She focused on her busyness instead of focusing on who she was serving, and she began to get mad. And listen, she got mad at her sister, and she got mad at Jesus. Now, but don't think bad of her because you have been there. We have all been there. Look at her words in verse 40. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her to help me. When you focus on busyness instead of Jesus, you lose focus. And when you lose focus, you don't put your faith in the right place. And when you don't put your faith in the right place, you will find yourself sinking in worry. She says, don't you care to Jesus? Now, anyone that would spend any time with Jesus would know that he cared. Anybody that studies the life of Jesus would know that he cared. This is exactly what the disciples said when they were out on the sea and they were about to sink. And Jesus was asleep in the front of the ship, and they wake him up and say, don't you care? I know you have a lot of things going on in your life, and there may be a time that you wonder if Jesus even cares about you. That comes from the devil. It does not come from God. Let me tell you very emphatically, yes, he cares. Jesus says in verse 41, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. He's lovingly trying to draw her attention back. She was worried about many things. Have you ever noticed that worries grow? If you worry about something, you will soon worry about several things, and you'll soon then worry about a lot. Worries expand. Worries get bigger the more that you focus on them. You worry about one thing, it leads to another thing, and it leads to another thing. You cannot worry and trust God at the same time. Instead of focusing on worry and worrying things, we need to spend time focusing on Jesus. We need to focus on his desires and being the people he wants us to be. And so we see the worrier, and we also see the worshiper. In verse 39, she had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, I want to be clear. The fact that she was upset with her sister did not mean that her sister never worked. In fact, that is not even said in the scripture that Mary did not work. It is very likely that Mary had her chores to do and she did them before she sat down to be with Jesus. If you read the text in verse 39, you'll see the word also. That word also implies that she did the needed things and she also sat at the feet of Jesus. It wasn't that she didn't do anything, that she didn't try to help at all. She did what was needed and focused on who she needed to focus on. These sisters lived under the same roof, but they were not the same. Got kids? You will find your kids are not all alike. All God's children are different. Mary devotes herself to worshiping Jesus, listening to his word. Every time you see Mary in the New Testament, you will find her at the feet of Jesus. In this passage in John 11, she's at the feet of Jesus. When Lazarus died, she runs and falls at the feet of Jesus. In John 12, she's pouring perfume on the feet of Jesus. Mary was willing to humble herself to listen to whatever Jesus had to say. She wanted to obey whatever Jesus told her to do. We need people to do the work of the Lord. But you cannot do the work of the Lord if you will not spend some time listening to the word of the Lord. We need to make worshiping him a priority in our focus. It is more important than all the chores. We must be willing to spend time with God if we are ever to spend time working for God. It really bothers me to see how few people worship in our world. Now, I know we are in a strange time, and I know the reality is, some people will watch online, some people come, but you know what? Most people don't do anything. There was a period when we started this whole COVID thing off that everybody, out of curiosity, was watching online. But you know, not everybody that started out watching online continued to do so. And what we find is it's gotten pushed off the schedule in many places. And there are some that never came to worship to start with, and they're still not coming. If people can push worship away from their lives, if they can live without attending to Jesus, then there is a problem in their faith. It bothers me. Yes. There are those that have their names on our church roll that never enter our doors, and they don't watch online either. And we need to pray for them, and we need to encourage them, and we need to challenge them, and we need to talk to others who will attend to the Lord. They're not serving God or worshiping God. No wonder there's a spiritual weakness in our land. You see, there are more people that don't worship than do. We need to have a balanced life when it comes to the Lord. We need to focus in on Jesus in our work and in our worship. We do not need to leave out one for the other. And so we see a warrior, we see a worshiper, and we see the Word. In verse 42, "But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away." Mary set an example by taking time to focus on Jesus and His Word. We must build a relationship with Jesus if we're ever going to serve Jesus. Listen, Jesus doesn't need us, but we definitely need Him. We need His Word. We need His direction. If you want to know how to vote, you need to spend some time in the Bible. It will share with you how to vote. If you want to know how to deal with certain issues of life, spend some time in God's Word. It will share with you how to deal with those issues in life. Every day we focus on His Word. We walk in His Word. We walk according to His will. Jesus pointed out that what Mary had chosen would not be taken away. One of the great things that we do is we read God's Word, and when we read God's Word, we are spending time in the eternal. When we apply God's Word, we do things according to God's will. Whenever we are in God's will, it will not be taken away. A cup of water you give in the name of Jesus will be known for all eternity. A caring meal given to someone in the name of Jesus will be a blessing throughout the ages. An opportunity to share the gospel where you tell somebody how they can know Jesus as their Savior can have someone thanking you 10,000 years from now. We need to understand God's Word does not pass away. This world passes away. The worries pass away. The issues pass away. Oh, but God's Word is eternal. It will be there forever and forever and forever. If we are to serve Jesus, we've got to focus on Jesus and His Word. Peter Marshall, who was once the chaplain of the Senate, said, "God forgive us for thinking prayer is a waste of time, and help us to see without prayer, work is a waste of time." Well, my friend, without focusing on Jesus, everything we do is a waste of time. He must be first. He must be first when we get up in the morning, first when we go through our day, first when we are at work, or first when we're at play, first when we come at home in the evening, first when we eat, first when we rest, first when we go to bed at night, and first when we get up again in the morning. Jesus should be first all the time because Jesus is Almighty God. And He's the one we should follow. He's the one that we should care for. He's the one that we should serve with all that we are, with all that we have. Now, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you need to come to know Him. You need to invite Him into your heart. He will save your soul. And in just a moment, you can come down to the front of the room. I'll be glad to meet you and share with you about Jesus. Maybe you're a believer, and I'm glad you're a believer. You need to dedicate yourself to serving Him first, putting Jesus first. Listen, if we as a church will put Him first, we'll have an impact on those around us. We can have a change in those around us. And that change will be for Jesus' sake. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank You for Your word and for Your challenge to our hearts. We pray now that You would move in our lives, bring us to decisions that we need to make. Father, certainly if someone is here that doesn't know You, let them come to know You. But Father, for those of us that know You, let us put the worries of this world aside. Let us put Jesus first. And Father, guide us in our lives. Let us focus on You and let us draw others to do the same. And we thank You for Jesus. And it is in His name we pray. Amen. Now, if you would take your cards that you filled out, place them in the buckets.